It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time, they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
For all of you who want Brian Daboll as the OC, he's going to have, I think, his choice of a couple of jobs as head coach. One, obviously, the Bills he's going to interview and the history there. And then I also think, you know, the Ravens may not be out of the question for him. But I get it. I mean, I'd love to have Brian Daboll. Now you're talking about brain power, right? Now you're talking about offensive brain power and trusting what we're trying to do. And I'm not saying that I don't yet, but that's why I think this OC hire is a big deal. But, I keep seeing, you know, I'd love to have Daboll. I think he's going to get a head coaching job if he wants it.
Right. I know that, first off, you got to have some degree of familiarity. Not always, but I mean, are you running the same kind of offense that the guy who's going to be the boss, Stefanski, is running? So that's got to fit. And, you know, Daboll, see, I'm mixed bag on him. I thought he got the most out of Josh. I thought there was a moment where Josh Allen backslid and got into some bad habits after Daboll left. Daboll couldn't get the most out of Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones actually doing better with Steichen in Indianapolis, you could argue, right?
Yeah. Look, no doubt, because he went there and balled out until he had the ACL or the Achilles injury.
And then certainly, you know, with Jackson Dart, I mean, it was, you know, it's – I don't know. Daboll's a guy – and maybe, you know, he goes – do the car wash, as they said with Saban. Go somewhere, pump it up again, get back in the game as a head coach, right?
Yeah. I think, you know, again, the Joe Shane thing, and we're going to hear from the new head coach there in John Harbaugh in a sec, but I also think that the Joe Shane situation, the general manager there, didn't play to his favor, just like I don't think the general manager situation in Buffalo played to Sean McDermott's favor. Not saying McDermott didn't deserve to be fired. You can't be there 9 seasons, have Josh Allen and all these resources, Mike, and just, you know, you continue to come up short. But on the same day you get fired, Brandon Bean gets promoted to president of football ops / GM on the same day. And today, the owner and his comments got really weird. Let's get to 4th and 1. Terry Pakula is the owner of the Bills. And look, we always talk about this. We want to hear from the owner. There was a point in this season where we felt like we wanted to hear from our owner and the season wasn't over. But now that it is, and this is why some owners shouldn't speak, because the Bills held their press conference today. Sean McDermott obviously fired. Brandon Bean sitting there, again, newly appointed president of football ops and / GM. He's been their general manager. But, Mike, things got weird when they were like, yeah, you know, Keon Coleman, you guys drafted him, and Brandon, you were the guy behind it. And Brandon's about to answer the question, and then the owner jumped in.
Can I interrupt? I'll address the Keon situation. The coaching staff pushed to draft Keon. I'm not saying Brandon wouldn't have drafted him, but he wasn't his next choice. That was Brandon being a team player and taking advice of his coaching staff, who felt strongly about the player. And he's taken, for some reason, heat over it and not saying a word about it. But I'm here to tell you the true story.
Okay, two things. Pro Football Focus, I should say Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, they found some cuts. They went back and found where Coleman's looking at the combine, and Coleman runs a slow 40 time. And Bean, the GM, goes, I'm glad he ran that. It'll help to get him. So the owner's kind of talking to both sides. The way the owner thought it would be a good idea, let's basically paint Sean McDermott at running the muck, and he was dictating this, and our poor general manager didn't even want this player who's been a lightning rod up there for doing stupid stuff.
You're right. And that's why I feel like Brandon Bean was also pushing him out of the door, whether you think it was deserved or not. And again, I think it had run its course, but it's just interesting about how all this stuff played out. And then the owner's throwing him under the bus today, basically saying the coach wanted him. Wanted Keon Coleman, right, and not the general manager, and so the GM did what the coach wanted. Okay. Either way, that is now getting a lot of run, Mike, from a social media standpoint. And people around the league are going, that's bogus, man. That's trash.
Yeah, I saw that this morning on NFL. I was like, whoa, okay. But again, these owners, we heard this a little bit with Arthur, with Matt's introductory press cards. These guys can't help themselves. So Pegula going in, trying to basically set the tone. Look, I think McDermott looks like a pretty salty guy. You saw that on some of the Hard Knock stuff. He's definitely he's wrapped pretty tight. He had run-ins with Diggs. Maybe Diggs deserved it, right? There was some stuff that was out there.
Yeah.
But, he still came up so close. They did a graphic yesterday on NFL Network of the winning percentage, points scored, points allowed. Buffalo's 1-1-1 over everybody and hasn't gone to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's tough. You got to get it done. Meanwhile, let's hear from Joe Shane while we talk about the Giants situation. So this is not going to last, by the way. Take it from me. Okay? It's not going to last. Joe Shane was asked about how John Harbaugh came in, and for everybody who has no idea, we said this, it wasn't about the money. Harbaugh wanted it clear in writing who he's reporting to and how this structure was going to work. He wanted to report to the owner. That's what's going to happen. So Joe Shane's the general manager of the Giants. Here's what he said about it.
I'm not worried about that. Everywhere I've been in the league for 26 years. So everywhere I've been, the head coach and general manager work together. That's the only way it's going to work. And get on the same page, go through the process. Again, we've done it everywhere I've been, so I'm not worried about it. Like you said, that's just something on a piece of paper. It doesn't matter. We need to work together, and we're going to come to the final conclusion. And it's always going to be about what's best for the New York Giants. So I have no problem with that, and I'm looking forward to working with it.
It's on a piece of paper, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you why it's not going to work. Because John Harbaugh didn't come in with him.
Correct.
And I can't report to somebody who I'm not sure has my back. And therefore, I'm going straight to the owner. These are the little things, guys, and these football deals, when stuff starts going bad and you're like, man, what's going on up there? What? This is the kind of crap. John is a vet. He is not coming in with Joe Shane going, this is the GM I picked, which is bringing us back home, Mike, to our Atlanta Falcons, because we've not selected a general manager, yet we have a coach. And this is, again, why our new coach is going to be in on this. Harbaugh's like, I'm not reporting to Joe Shane.
No, that's why. I mean, it's subtle. But again, that's why. And by the way, you and I, we've talked about this before. For some people, we'll get that. Some people, now in today's world, some people are so literal, they can't read between the lines. Shane might not even be here by this time next year.
It's not going to work.
I'm telling you. And he's like, I don't know why. Mara's got a soft spot for him, the old man Mara. I would have fired. If you watch that in season with the Hard Knocks.
I don't know if the son does. Let me tell you something.
I don't get it. I don't get why Shane is still there.
The sons in this deal, Mike, played a huge role in getting Harbaugh to buy into what they were trying to do. I don't know if that's the case as this thing. And by the way, I think he was battling cancer, right? If I'm correct.
The senior Mary is.
Senior. So, yeah, we'll see where this goes. But, yeah, man, that's one of those situations. And then here's what Harbaugh said, by the way, about reporting to the owner instead of the GM.
Well, to me, it's really not that important in the big picture and big scheme of things. I think it's kind of overblown just a little bit in terms of how it works. But the main thing is that it works, and that we work together. That's what matters. So that's kind of what I was used to. And it felt like a good way to kind of start off. And I think Mr. Mara was happy about that. It seemed like it made sense, and I'm just happy. But I don't think it really matters. I think we're all going to work together. And
what's that from Dateline when they do that investigative show?
That was a lie.
That was a lie. That was a lie. He absolutely lied. No doubt.
So we'll see where it goes, but I can't vibe that. And now, again, getting back to the Falcons, you brought this up. You know, at Arthur Blank's press conference when he introduced Matt, you know, and they were talking about, you know, getting the head coach and the GM, and I think the phrase was get the planes to land at the same time.
Yep.
Haven't done that yet. And I asked you and I asked Day-Day and Oren today, because they've gone with the coach, to your point, and Matt does seem to have a big voice. The perception around the media and the coverage of the NFL is Matt is running this. So does a general manager who's an assistant GM want to take a role where he's going to be a glorified assistant GM? I don't know. Am I reading too much into that?
I don't know. I mean, look, I think that, as I said, you've got to allow people to do their jobs. If I was an assistant GM, pick your organization, and the Falcons were interested in me.
Say Ian Cunningham, for example.
Okay, they're interested in me. I'm not going there to be in the same position, Mike, right, with no growth and no ability to make decisions that affect an organization that will ultimately allow me to do what Matt's doing, which is I want to run the whole thing, right? We talk about these titles. Sometimes they mean something. Sometimes they don't mean anything. But you don't get to president of football ops and GM, and it's your show. Until you have an opportunity to build on these decisions and help team build. So I'm not taking the job. That's just where I'm at. You got to allow people to do these jobs if you're going to hire them. And if you're telling me I'm just coming here and I'm going to be at press conferences, Mike, sitting there nice and silent. Hey, what's his role? Right. The Ian guy, what's he do? Hey, I'm in the office.
Well, like, remember when Fontenot wasn't there when they fired Arthur Smith,
yeah,
and Rich McKay. Oh, no, he's really working hard right now. And it's like, what? So, yeah, as far as, you know, where this goes, Matt did say both guys, coaches and GM, would be empowered. So, but there, I mean, whether this is right or wrong, there's been an impression, if you read around the league and see some of the guys who cover it, that Matt's running this thing, which I'm fine with. But you still got to fill in the GM position.
You do have to fill in. And like we said, if not, then just say Matt's GM, and just like Brandon Bean.
That's what I said to you 2 weeks ago. Why don't you just make Matt the Grand Poobah of football,
but
President GM?
But I also think, Mike,
and then, by the way, then for guys who don't get it, yes, Matt's not going to sit there and burn the midnight oil trying to figure out the cap. They have people in the office.
Yeah.
There would be assistants and do all the stuff.
But I also think, to your point there, I think he needs the help. He hadn't done this 25 years. He needs the help. He needs experienced people around him, I think, to help with this process. Hey, man, one other thing as we go around the league. It's 4th and 1. It's Dukes and Bell. Josh Kendall's going to join us from The Athletic to talk about all this stuff with the Falcons. He covers them on a daily basis as well. Mike Vrabel on Jarrett Stidham. Look, if Bo Nix was playing, I would tell you the Broncos are probably going to go to the Super Bowl. But he's not. And even though they're playing at home, this Patriots defense gets after it. And I just believe now, I'm not believing, Mike, that Jarrett Stidham went thrown a pass in like two years, all of a sudden is going to just turn into Superman. But here's what Vrabel said about starting against Jarrett Stidham.
Ironic, you know, just speaking with his agent, they're like, well, if you don't want your starter to get hurt, sign Jarrett, because that was before, you know, yesterday or 2 days ago. You know, just going back to when Josh had him and playing against that, just think he sees things really well. I think he's athletic enough to extend, like we talk about a lot of quarterbacks. Accuracy. I think the decision making, you know, is really decisive in the games that we went back and watched. And this is even going back to when I was in Tennessee as well.
Look, it's just a tough spot to be in. I said to Carl the other day, I couldn't even imagine being a Broncos fan. You know, the exaltation of going to this, you know, the conference championship, one win away from the Super Bowl, and then Bo Nix is out. And you got a guy that, yeah, I mean, you can say all the nice things about him, but he doesn't have the level of athleticism or experience that Bo has, you know. So we'll see. Most passes he's attempted was 22 with the Raiders, 83 in a season.
Wow.
I mean, that's, and you're, and Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl, Brad Johnson won a Super Bowl, but those guys, they at one point were really good quarterbacks. I don't know when, they're kind of punchlines to jokes, which isn't fair, especially to Brad. Brad had a nice career, but the Broncos got to play like the 85 Bears then in this game, literally.
I agree. Hey, man, coming up, Josh Kendall. We'll find out his thoughts on not only Stefanski, but where we go from here, the OC, the GM, and much more. Stay there. It's Duke.
Hey, y'all. It's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. Oh, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
And Bill. Let's talk to our buddy Josh Kendall from The Athletic. He covers the Falcons. And Josh, appreciate you jumping on with us as we get ready for this press conference next week with Kevin Stefanski. Want to start with your thoughts about why you think the Falcons felt good with this decision and why you think fans eventually should feel okay with hiring Kevin Stefanski, because I'm sure you're getting the same response as we are. It's kind of been mixed. But why do you think the team and the organization felt good with their decision?
I think that Matt Ryan is a first-time executive. I think it's very likely that they're going to have a first-time general manager. I think so. That for starters, I think it makes sense that one of that group of three, you know, has been through it a few times, has seen it a few times. I always thought Kevin Stefanski made sense from that perspective. I think that Kevin Stefanski is a very good personality fit with Matt Ryan. Publicly, a pretty quiet, flatline guy. Behind the scenes, I think he's known as not a hard ass, but a tough coach. I mean, I think he will coach guys hard. So I think he and Matt just fit. Between that and the experience, I do think, despite Matt's assertion that he was not targeting an offensive guy, which I believe. I don't think he had to have an offensive guy, but I do think he felt some comfort with Kevin Stefanski and particularly his offensive system.
Right, and you just mentioned the experience factor. How close was Kubiak? I know because we waited, Josh, for Dan Quinn back in 2014-15 for the Seattle season to end. Was Kubiak really a serious candidate here?
I think he was, but you got into a situation where the Falcons saw Harbaugh go. Every third NFL job is open or was open.
Right.
If you let Kevin Stefanski out of the building that Saturday night on the theory that we're going to wait for Clint Kubiak for who knows how much longer, maybe Kevin Stefanski gets gone. So you run a risk-reward there. How seriously they were thinking Kubiak, I don't know the answer to that question. Mm. But they clearly felt like they needed to get the trigger pulled on Kevin Stefanski before he left Arthur Blank's house. Saturday nights ago, whatever it was.
Josh, it's Josh Kendall, guys, from The Athletic here on Dukes and Bell. I feel like this OC hire is the big one because this offense has been, as you know, being around the team as much as anybody, I mean, it's been the problem. And the other perception right now is we've got a young quarterback that still needs developing. Where do you think they go with this particular hire? We've heard a bunch of names. What do you think they're looking for?
I think that Tommy Reese is still the most likely candidate because I don't think that – I mean, Kevin Stefanski is not looking for somebody to come in and call an offense. Kevin Stefanski is looking for somebody to come in here and help him run his offense. This is a guy who wants to call plays. He has started both of the last two seasons in Cleveland starting plays before turning it over to first Ken Dorsey 2 years ago and then Tommy Rees last year, midpoint of the season, as they were struggling. I would be really surprised if he doesn't open the season calling plays for the Falcons, with the hopes, obviously, that he can carry that through the whole season because things are going smoothly. So, you know, this is not – I don't think Kevin Stefanski was ever going to pursue Mike McDaniel, as intriguing that was for a lot of people, and I completely understand that. But Mike McDaniel's going to come in and run the offense. Kevin Stefanski, in my sense, is going to run the Falcons' offense. So I don't think you're going to see somebody who brings, you know, their own thing to the group. So for a lot of reasons, but mostly that one, I think that Tommy Rees is the most likely candidate at this point.
All right, because we were joking around about it before you came on, Josh. You know, Alabama fans are going, no, when it comes to Tommy Rees. Josh Kendall from The Athletic joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You bring in Callahan, who's, again, well-known guru offensive line. I know Dwayne Ledford was highly regarded, too. So the scheme, do we have the guys? How do you feel about Ryan Neusel at center? Carl and I were talking about that earlier in the week. You think they do some upgrades on the O-line?
I think that there are going to be some adjustments on the O-line. I don't know about upgrades. How they feel about Ryan Neusel, I don't know. He is a little undersized. And this group, Kevin Stefanski and Bill Callahan, are going to want to run, I believe, a more diverse run game than Atlanta ran in the previous years when they were not exclusively wide zone, but as high a percentage as wide zone of anybody in the NFL. Stefanski historically has run – you know, a lot more power runs, duo, gap stuff that generally leans toward bigger offensive linemen. You know, one of the reasons the Falcons run the wide zone is because they've got an offensive line that's built for it.
Right.
They're not quite as well built to just go mash people. This is not the Panthers who went out and got 700 pounds worth of guards in free agency a couple of years ago, and you saw that in their run game. So do they look to upgrade – If upgrade is the right word, at center, upsize may be the better word. I don't know. I think that all of that is possible, but I don't think it's a given.
Yeah, it's a great point, Josh. What do you think about the general manager? You said an experienced, maybe inexperienced first-time general manager. What are your thoughts there? We continue here, you know, Ian Cunningham, Mike and I were going through some of these names, Texans assistant GM and the Steelers assistant GM. Is there somebody that jumps out to you?
Ian Cunningham has made the most sense from the beginning. I still think that he makes the most sense. I think that all of the candidates, you know, all the candidates that I've seen, the guys that they're bringing in for interviews, have their selling points. It's like the Kevin Stefanski hire. You're just going to have to make a decision and hope you've made the right one, obviously. But I don't, none of us can sit here, and Matt Ryan can't sit there with a crystal ball and say, this guy will work out, this guy won't. Cunningham has worked for the Ravens. He's worked for the Eagles. He was very involved with Ryan Poles in Chicago. He was sort of right alongside him as he did everything he did in Chicago, which is, you know, so far so good. So I think that he checks a lot of boxes and probably will be the guy in the end.
I know that it's a kind of a moot point till we get that GM in here, but just based on, you know, Stefanski and the kind of offense we're working, a lot of 12 out there. Pitts is not a great blocker. Do you think Pitts is still a Falcon next year?
I think that this increases the chance. I didn't think the chances were low. I thought it was, you know, at least 50-50 that Kyle Pitts would be back. But a lot of it will depend on what the market is for him out there. But certainly Kevin Stefanski, as a head coach, won't deter him from being. Stefanski is a guy who has loved tight ends throughout his career. Plays a lot of the coast of the ball a lot. So I would think that all of that would be appealing to Kyle Pitts. So much of it is going to be dependent on the outside offers that he gets. And I think that's a real wild card.
Josh, what about the defensive staff staying intact? Who's going to be here? Who's here? And what do you know?
I mean, I don't think that they will make any significant changes. That would they potentially lose somebody? You know, that stuff, that can always happen. But I don't think Jeff Ulbrich is going to look to change anybody. The Falcons clearly
like the way they were trending with a young defense and feel like Jeff Ulbrich is the guy to sort of keep that progress moving. And I think that's probably a pretty good call. There's so many young guys on this defense that they feel like can be contributors and really difference makers into the future. And they really clicked with Jeff and the way he plays and his system. So I think that, Kevin Stefanski's willingness to sign off on that and be good with Jeff Ulbrich coming in was probably another reason that they liked Kevin Stefanski.
Talking with Josh Gendel, guys, from The Athletic, as we're getting ready to find out more about Stefanski press conference next Tuesday. You'll hear it right here on 92.9 The Game. All right, let me throw a hypothetical at you, Josh. I know you love those. In the offseason, without having a first-round pick, bigger priority, more size in the interior defensive line, or a real compliment wide receiver to Drake London?
Wide receiver. I think that you can scheme around lack of size. They're both big, but I think you can probably scheme around lack of size on the defensive interior more easily than you can scheme around what we saw at wide receiver last year with Darnell Mooney not able to have the kind of season he had 2 years ago. So I do think that they need more weapons there.
Yeah, I agree with you 200%. And last thing for me as we talk about, you know, the defense, they are assuming, obviously we haven't heard an update because the end of the year and then all these changes, but like Billy Bowman, all these injuries on the defense, we lost significant guys, and this defense still performed at a very high level, considering, you know, some of the milestones that they hit, especially with the sacks and whatnot. What are you hearing on that front as far as anything, if there is anything to report? I don't know, but I've been asked, and I said, you know what, we'll ask one of our guys when we get a chance to talk to him.
No significant updates. I think they're certainly still, you know, reaching way back, you know, for a real deep cut. You know, I think you got to wonder what happens with Troy Anderson into the future.
Sure.
And we don't know. Braylon Trice has missed two seasons in a row, and we just don't know. I think that Billy Bowman was playing really well, or at least showing some real flashes before the Achilles tear, and that you don't know. That can be a long road back. I mean, you can be back, but not all the way back. And that nickel position, particularly the way he plays it, the way they want him to play it, does require some real explosion. So that, for me, is the biggest question mark. It's not necessarily does he come back. I don't think there's any question on that. Is how does he come back? How quickly does it take him to get on the field? How long does it take him to get on the field? And how long does it then take him to feel like himself?
And then finally, I know that the capologists say the moves made were just to get Cousins off the books, but because of the familiarity with Stefanski from stops in Minnesota, did you put it at like a 100-1 that Cousins comes back?
I think it's a possibility. I think again, I think that he'll end up being released, which doesn't mean he can't re-sign with the Falcons. In theory, they could restructure the contract again, but there's just so much money left on that deal. I don't think there's any way they pay him $67 million on March the 13th. I would fall on the floor if that happened. But I think that, you know, does he go out there and look around and maybe now with a guy like Kevin Stefanski, who he's familiar with, who he had a lot of success with, is he more willing to potentially come back? Sure, I think lots of things could happen. But, I think we're way away from even being able to predict what will and won't happen.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Look, this offseason is just starting. Josh Gendel, follow him on The Athletic, guys. Thanks so much for stopping by, Josh. We'll see you at the presser next week, and have a great weekend, man. We appreciate you.
Y'all too.
That's Josh Gendel. The reason why I asked about that is that may affect how you approach the draft. The Billy Bowman injury, whether he's back, you may need another. Mm-hmm. And look, you can never have enough of these cover guys and right. nickel guys, but you may need another one of those as you look at the draft. Understanding how these defensive injuries have affected your depth.
And again, we've been trying to run Mike Hughes out of town for 2 years, but they're still satisfied with his job.
Yeah.
A new set of eyes, although Ulbrich, and for the most part, the defensive staff is intact.
All right, coming up, man, we'll find out what's on Day-Day's mind. Apparently some of y'all are going in on him, and he doesn't appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. No, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched, no life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got more coming up here on the show in regards to the Falcons, thanks to Josh Kendall for stopping by and talking with us about all that stuff. A lot of people responding, Mike. Look, Mike and I don't have all the answers to what this is going to look like. Josh doesn't. We're just giving you our thoughts as to the people we're talking to and the things that we think are going to play out. But, Mike, until this is fully staffed and we know for sure what this is going to look like, right now, there's still a lot of speculation. And again, right, that goes for the general manager, it goes for the OC, and it goes for some of these other moves that are still, you know, going to be made down the road. Once you get their staff in place, guys, then we got to turn our attention to the combine. We got to start talking about the draft and how we're going to approach this. Forget about the first round pick. Again, James Pierce Jr. is on this roster. What else can you do to improve this team?
Right. That's what I was asking, you know, Josh about, you know, is to me, those are the two. I mean, we get pushed around a lot, you know, in the defense, in the center of the defensive line. We like Rook. Brandon Dorlus was, again, he's great getting down the field. But I'd love to see a big, giant Grady Jackson type. You know, what do I always want? I want a giant Frankenstein for the Hawks, and I want a big fat guy for the Falcons in the middle on the defensive line, whether it's a 4-3 or 3-4. But then, as he mentioned, you've got to get better than Mooney. Mooney was just so inconsistent this year. It was a major, major drop-off.
Yeah, it was we really didn't have a number two threat.
Right. And again, now, if you can find a guy who's tall and fast, well, that's called the first-round pick. But if you can find a guy who's tall and fast, catches the ball, and somehow sneaks to where we are at sec, that would certainly be intriguing in the second round.
Hey, man, want to remind you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, we've got all your action, AFC, NFC championship games. Make sure you join us Sunday, 2 o'clock, live play-by-play for both conference championship games. It's brought to you by your local Honda dealers, by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors, and by Window Nation. Buy 4 windows, get 4 free. That's the AFC, NFC championship games starting Sunday at 2 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Atlanta's home of the NFL on Westwood One. Day-Day, what is going on today, man? What's on your mind?
Well, first, before we get back to Falcons, because it's a lot of Falcon stuff that's on my mind, I do want to say this is also on my mind. For all my people out there that, you know, you watch these shows, things of that nature, give it about a month before you start putting stuff on social media.
Spoiler alert?
Spoiler, yes.
Ah, okay.
So now Mike, you just said you started watching His or Hers. You heard me and Carl telling you about it.
Filmed right here in Metro Atlanta.
Yeah, great show for those who haven't seen it yet. But I noticed, the show's probably been out, maybe it's been out a month. I don't know, but it doesn't feel like it because I'm just now starting to see stuff on my timeline. Mm-hmm. And I personally don't get upset when people spoil stuff if it's something I want to see. That's me personally. But, like, I do respect that other people don't want to see things or want to know. And I just, particularly on my Facebook timeline, ever since I watched His and Hers, I'm just seeing so many people post stuff that is basically spoiling the show.
Hate that.
Yeah. And I'm like, what are y'all doing? Like, I posted something where I said, his and hers almost threw me off my original scent. That's all I said. Got a ton of people laughing, this, that, and people making comments but not spoiling, except for one person who put a picture and was like, if I send you this, just know somebody knows. Carl, you know where I'm going. Just like, so I had to block that particular comment because I'm like, come on.
Yeah, you're trying to enjoy it. People see
it. Yeah, like I literally had people on my timeline saying, oh, man, I'm two episodes in. I'm three episodes in. And I'm like, what are we doing? Like, so please have a little social media etiquette out there, people.
Right, because our rule of thumb, Day-Day, I go take it back, Carl. You know, when there was a show that, like, not that everybody had it, because we always joke around. You mentioned HBO. I'm not a millionaire like you and you and Carl Dukes. But, I mean, you know, if there was a show that was a big sensation,
right,
you know, when things were really popping, like when Lost was really popping or Game of Thrones or something that everybody has picked up the zeitgeist, Carl, everybody's watching it. We would generally give you 72 hours,
right,
and then we're going to talk about it.
Right.
And that was it, right?
Yeah.
That was fair. But Netflix, everybody watches at their own pace.
At their own pace, yeah.
Exactly.
And here's the thing, like, too, because you can binge all the episodes. Mm-hmm. You can be done in a day or less or, you know, a few hours. But, like, we just finished Landman's season finale.
Mm-hmm.
And they made you wait every week to come out with, like, old school. They made you wait every week. You got to wait for an episode. I think The Pitt season two is doing this, right, where you can't not just dive in and see it all and then, like, going on and be like, I can't believe they did that.
Right.
But I like that. I still like that. I hate waiting because we're spoiled now with streaming. But I do like the idea that I don't have to get ahead and then I want to talk about it and, like, everybody's catching up.
Right.
We're all on the same page. That's what the Game of Thrones thing was.
Right.
You had to wait every Sunday, and it was like, oh, man. And, you know, Sopranos, same thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. But, Day-Day, to your point, I hate the spoiler stuff because I don't want to know, man. If I'm watching it, I'm all in. I don't want to know what happened.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Let's give a shout-out to Top Dad Dog 834. Top Dad Dog 834.
All right.
You know your real name. I don't. But anyway, so obviously a lot of conversation around Kevin Stefanski being hired by the Atlanta Falcons. And we've touched on this all throughout the last couple of days here. You know, whether or not it's a good hire or not, we don't know, right?
Only time will tell.
Top Dad says that in one of his comments on our video from our pre-show, hey, Day-Day, keep dancing too, like your big bro, Carl Dukes.
What?
Always co-signing for acceptance.
Oh.
First off, Top Dad Dog 834.
Yeah, Top Dad Dog 834.
I don't dance for anybody.
Yeah.
Don't you know people don't dance no more? All they do is this.
All they do is this.
But no, seriously, I took offense to it only because, first of all, I wasn't co-signing with you. It's the truth, people. Kevin Stefanski is your coach, right? And at this point, you're going to have to do a deeper dive outside of the record, outside of the wins and losses, to make your decision on whether or not this is going to be a good hire. And even when you do your deep dive, you still won't know until the Falcons hit the field later on in September and start putting up wins and losses.
Right.
Just because someone says you got to do a deep dive doesn't mean I'm in agreement that he's a great coach or I, you know, because look. Everybody said the same thing about Raheem Morris, right? He's not a winning coach. Look at his record. And for all those that felt that way, look, they got what they probably thought should have happened. He was let go because, again, he could not win. Same thing could happen with Kevin Stefanski. Or it may not happen. Maybe he turns this team into a winning team. We're 10, 11 wins. We're in the playoffs. We're not just one and done. We're second, third round. We don't know. So just because I say do a deeper dive, because guess what? When you work in this profession, that's what we have to do. I just can't come off the top and say I don't like the hire.
Well, you could.
Well, I said it. I don't like the hire.
You could. Yes.
But that didn't make you a company man.
I agree with you, Day. And look, at the end of the day, and let me do my Stephen A. I don't give a damn about you thinking I need acceptance. I don't. And I don't. I'm going to tell you, and I've said this from day one since I got here. I'm going to tell you how I feel. I'll tell you what I think, whether you agree with it or you don't agree with it. But just know I'm right 98% of the time. So when we go to these places and we tell you what's going on, again, I'm not just pulling this out of my butt. Like, I do feel like the Kevin Stefanski thing, and there is no right or wrong answers. We've been saying this for weeks.
Right.
If it was going to be him or somebody else, Mike, we all would have felt some kind of way.
And again, I said it, you know, I talked about this the other day, because, you know, same thing with Day-Day, being called Uncle Day-Day, you know, where I got guys going, oh, man, Mike towing the company line. I said I had a night to sleep on it. Here's why they hired him. The logic behind it. Not my logic, their logic. But you can see the logic. He's a veteran. They want a guy who's done this before. They want a guy with an offensive mind. That's why they went with the dude. No-nonsense guy. Maybe some more accountability than we've seen in previous regimes. Mm-hmm. That's the logic. I still don't like it. I still would love to see Kubiak. But again, I can't keep waving the banner for Kubiak. He's not the option. Our guy is here. So that it's amazing how people perceive things, Carl. Like when you start to say, what's like the 6 degrees or the 5 stages of like shock? You know, eventually you get to acceptance.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I consider him bellyache about it. Now, look, some guys got on my case because I went 5 months about how stupid signing Cousins and drafting Penix was, but I was right about that. It was dumb. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping we can make Penix the better quarterback. Still don't know what he's going to be 3 years in.
Yeah. So with that being said, man, I just want people to understand, like, look, no one knows. Again, don't try to, because y'all done got me to a point. I've never done this before.
Go there.
Now I got to go home and just sit in a closet and woosah and
whoa, man,
ask for forgiveness.
But, Day-Day, this is where you got to take.
Top dad dog, hey, 834.
Top dad dog.
Because we got to just take a mental check. Sometimes, like Saturday, I was getting static over the, or Sunday morning, I was getting static over, like, explaining why they signed the new head coach to be Kevin Stefanski. Mm-hmm. Just get off the thing. Just get off it.
Yeah.
And shut it down, man. We're defined by this stupid phone.
Yeah.
You know, you just get off the freaking phone.
Some people are.
Yeah, some people. Yeah.
You and me? Yeah. You're right. I mean, I don't.
People get mad at me because I go radio silent. I don't even look at the damn thing for a couple hours. You know?
Nah. And to Josh Kendall's point, guys, all seriousness, you look at the time, who was available. John Harbaugh had already come off the board. So at the time, you're still looking at all these OCs and DCs that the Falcons had already interviewed. And to his point, with Matt Ryan being a first-time president, if the GM ends up being a first-time GM,
more likely,
you want some experience somewhere in that trio. So bringing in a Kevin Stefanski, while granted, he didn't have the best record in Cleveland, people. We know this. He still has the experience. He understands the inner workings, probably a little more so than even Matt Ryan, because Matt Ryan only knows it from a player standpoint. He doesn't know it from a front office standpoint to this point, and we don't know who this GM is going to be and where their level of involvement in putting a team together really, you know, what they all will bring to the table. Yeah. So that's what's on my mind. I had to get that off because the top dog, he really robbed me.
Man, got you fired up. Called you a sellout.
I'm talking about I be dancing. All I do is this.
I hear you. That's it right there. The shoulder thing?
That's it.
Yeah. No dancing over here. Day-Day, I totally agree, man. And look, we're going to read some more of your comments as we move throughout the course of the show. We didn't get to them earlier today, but we say this all the time when we do our Behind the Curtain show. A lot of you give us comments, and we don't have a chance to get to them. But we're going to answer some of these things that you guys hit us up with earlier. So stay tuned for that. And if you have a comment or two, find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes. And the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. All right, coming up, we're going to talk some college football, which we will do. We will also get back into who else is coming with Stefanski. And this is a big question, because as he has his presser next week, part of the thought process was – they're putting this off so he can hire the staff and have everybody that needs to be spoken about or talked about in place, right? We're talking about an OC, DC. We know the DC's in place. We don't have an OC yet. General manager, okay, still yet to come. What about, and let's not discount this, who the hell's a special teams coordinator? Because we can't go into another season and have the terrible special teams we had last year.
Now, I think we found out the special teams coach took some heat in Cleveland, and he stood by him.
He did.
So, I mean, again, we talk about accountability. We're getting to know Kevin Stefanski, and all we can go by is what happened up there in Cleveland, but how much of that was beyond his control. Special teams, he controls that. If you got a problem with it, fix it.
You can fire guys or move on from guys or bring in guys. All right, and also we'll get some guy talk in the 4 o'clock hour, but when we come back, they haven't won a playoff game in 3 years. Are you willing to say they are the team to beat next season? It's Dukes and Bell.
3-2-1. 1-2-3. What the heck is bothering me?
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.